Good afternoon and welcome to Fit to Be Tied on this Sunday afternoon. We want to thank you for joining us on our weekly show. Good to have Sheena back, who was out last week. It's hard to call it Fit to Be Tied without Sheena around.
Well, I mean, I would say Whitney, you know, if there's going to be a substitute, it's going to be Whitney. So I have no doubt she blew it out of the water.
Whitney did a great job, as usual, and stepped right in. And,
Yeah.
We had a really good time. We had a really good time talking about you. Mm-hmm. but it was, good show. Really good show. If you didn't get a chance to catch it last Sunday, go back and catch the archives, because it was a really informative show, and you know, something that was really, you know, very pertinent to a college campus. So if you get a chance, go back and watch that. I will tell you the one thing that we talked about you about. I go to these fitness conferences, and Whitney as well. And when we go to fitness conferences, we sit in lectures for about half the time, and then we might take a class or we might do something active.
Sure.
So I'm picturing you at a nutrition conference getting lectured to for about half the time, and the other half of the week eating.
You know, that's pretty accurate. So I would say part of that is, you know, sitting in those lectures, and then we have this food expo. There's at least 100 different vendors there. So it's from all of your different brands of food, and they basically showcase some of the newest products that they have going out, kind of getting a dietitian's approval as far as, you know, health stuff. So a lot of free swag. So that's really nice. But I will say that my adventure in Chicago started when I arrived at the airport in Chicago. I had utilized a rideshare service. Will not say which one it was, but, you know, had got it on my phone. And
were you comfortable with that?
I've used it in other cities. And, you know, I've used it some with my husband. You know, I've used it with coworkers. Not used it as many times independently by myself, so I feel like that's always, you know, kind of risky. But my driver tells me, as we pull away from the airport and we're on the interstate in the deep traffic of Chicago, that he does not have any gas and needs to stop at a gas station. And so I said, okay. And so, you know, texting pertinent people to let them know my whereabouts, the description of my driver, just in case this gas station ends up being a cover-up chop shop that I'm going to disappear to. But probably the most disturbing thing is that after we got gas, he started to tell me how our lives were not real and they were simulated, like computers, like the Matrix, and how the conversation I was having with him did not really exist, and it was artificial intelligence. And then he also started to tell me his theories on 9/11, and I couldn't sound like a naysayer. I had to right. nod my head and agree, because I didn't want to argue with this guy.
You're at his mercy.
Yeah. So then my husband was like, you riled him up, because then I started saying buzzwords like Illuminati, and that just kind of got him even more. So that was, I would probably say, as much of an adventure as I had at the actual conference, that Chicago really showed itself out with my airport experience. But I finally made it to my hotel and chronicled it all over social media, because that's what I do. So
I've got a million questions for you just related to that. I could stop right there, but you have to real quickly explain the cranberry picture.
Yes. So I know I got to show you a cranberry picture before we started, but the company Ocean Spray, you know, they have those commercials where they have their farmers in those cranberry bogs. So I got in this massive bog with millions of cranberries, and you got to put these boots on and coveralls, and I had my little cranberries in my hand. So I felt, I was feeling like I was in a
That's
commercial.
Awesome.
It was pretty awesome. But I know we'll probably get to talk about more side adventures towards the end of the show as we close out, but we got to save room for, you know, the meat of what we're talking about this afternoon. We've got an awesome program set for you guys. We have some amazing guests, and, you know, it's just one of those things where we've got to take a break before we pull out all the excitement. So you guys stick with us. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Sibling. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone, and we want to thank you once again for joining us this Sunday afternoon, another great Sunday afternoon in Tuscaloosa, and I don't think there is anything other than a great Sunday afternoon in Tuscaloosa.
Agreed. It's so relaxing, and hello, you get to listen to us, so I don't know, I'm just selfishly saying
that. Does it get any better?
That. Exactly.
We're inside and we're warm because we've made the change from summer to winter and skipped right over fall for the most part.
I would agree. I would agree. I'm very sensitive to weather changes for sure.
I've been adjusting myself and I adjusted last weekend by staying inside the whole time, which was a very nice weekend. Fall break. Nice and quiet around campus. And now things are starting to kick back up and get everything going for the stretch run.
I know. It's hard to believe. You know, it's November and we've got all of these amazing holidays. It's always interesting to see just the switch that happens with our faculty and our students in terms of kind of getting into that last leg of the semester and kind of, you know, things being due and everything else. You know, people kind of build up to fall break and then it's like crunch time from now until winter break. So
I'm glad you and you bring up food and holidays, and it's like my least favorite time of year when it comes to food. I hate Thanksgiving food. I hate Christmas food.
We've had this conversation before. Yeah. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out here real quick.
Okay.
Okay. For those of you that are going home, a little Thanksgiving etiquette. If you got all the food laid out on the table and there are other people around, don't reach over and grab some, I don't know, green beans and drag it all the way across the table, dripping green bean juice all over everything that everybody else wants to eat because not everybody likes green bean juice.
How's that? You sounds like you've been a victim of that.
Many times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotten all over your meat and potatoes,
rage.
Huh? Yeah.
It causes rage. Anyway, back to a good show. We got a, we got a really good, I shouldn't have gotten off topic like that, but we got a really good show lined up for today and a couple of great guests with us and some guys that we have the opportunity to work with occasionally at the Student Rec Center and with some of the other things that they do. But Crossing Points here on campus over the past, I want to say, and forgive me if my years are wrong, but probably the last 10 years has grown tremendously. And our guests today, Clay Stone and Edward Jones, welcome. Thank you guys for being with us.
Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us. And
absolutely.
Sheena and I have like a million questions for you. So.
I know. Well, you know, first off, Clay, kind of tell us a little bit about your role with Crossing Points and just explain to our listeners a little bit more about the program in general.
Okay. So my name is Clay Stone. I'm one of the two main teachers for Crossing Points, the other being Adam Tesler. So my role is a lot of managing students, managing staff. We have a lot of graduate assistants, a lot of paraprofessionals, and we work underneath our coordinator and program director, Dr. Amy Williamson and Dr. Kekendo Matua. So the program itself is a collaboration project between the University of Alabama, the Tuscaloosa City, and the Tuscaloosa County school systems.
Awesome.
So all of our students are public school students from the city and the county schools. They just receive their education here on campus, which encompasses many different things, such as working out at the rec center with you guys. We have job sites all over campus, several job sites off campus where our students will work 3 days a week. And then our students are also taking, we offer classes. A lot of our students are getting the opportunity to sit in and just to kind of experience what a college class is like.
Sure.
One of them being with Ms. Pape, who filled in for you last week. We have a student in her hip hop dance class this semester.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
We're getting to expand a lot and touch on a lot of different areas of campus that we haven't had the opportunity to do so yet. So it's exciting.
That's great. Awesome. You know, when I was taking a look at the Crossing Points website, and I know I had mentioned a little bit about this when we were off air, I noticed that there's two different tiers to the program. Can you kind of explain the differences with the tiers?
Yeah, so we have, so as of summer 2016, we became a two-tier program. So the first tier is just the academic year, so fall and spring. Those are our students 18 to 21 years old who are public school students, so coming from all the city and county high schools. The Tier 2 program is just the summer, and our students, it's an 8-week program, and it's for students who've exited the school system, so okay. Students who've completely graduated. So for our students who are ideally over 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So our age range has varied. I mean, we've had students in their late 20s, early 30s, but it's an 8-week program here on campus. A lot of the same components as the Tier 1 program. Students have employment training. They attend classes. The biggest difference is they get the residential component. So they actually live on campus for 8 weeks with university mentors.
Oh, awesome.
So with their non-disabled peers, they're living on campus with roommates. So for most of them, this is their first chance that they've had to live on their own.
Yeah.
They've never had that opportunity before. So it requires a lot of responsibility on their part to really – you know, kind of test their independence to see if college life or if they want to attend another college program is meant for them, or if they're kind of ready to really venture off and get their own apartment or get their own place to live.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
I still haven't had my chance to live alone. I'm still working on that, getting close to empty nest syndrome, but still got the wife there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, though. She hasn't left me yet. Well, as a somebody that's going through the program, Edward, what are your thoughts on it? Have you enjoyed being a part of the program?
Yes, sir.
Good times. Have you learned a lot?
Yes, sir.
Really? Where all have you worked over the years? Have you been just predominantly on campus, or do you go different places?
I go to different classes on campus, and I work on campus.
Okay.
What have your job sites been, Edward?
Now,
mm-hmm.
Jackside Downey. I make pizzas.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, perfect. What's your shift over there? What days do you week and what times?
I go on Mondays, Wednesday, and Thursdays, 8:30 to 12.
Okay, now I know when to get some pizza over there.
So yeah, I know.
That's why I had to ask about that.
You guys have the absolute natural connection with our dietitian here and our chef here. So
That's right.
We were talking with Edward a little bit before the last break, and he was talking about how he wants to be a chef, and that's really cool.
And, you know, I think with the Crossing Points program, Clay, you mentioned a little bit about the age range, but how many students are actually enrolled in the program?
So this year we have 19 students.
Okay.
I think our capacity is 30, though, so it really just depends on how many students from the city and county school systems are applying. So that it just depends on that. Last year we started the year, I think, with 25, mm-hmm. Whereas this year we have 19. So we graduated 14 seniors last year, whereas this year I think we're only going to graduate 4 seniors. So
okay.
it varies differently, but typically between 20 and 30 students.
Okay, awesome.
Well, could you, Clay, tell us just a little bit about your background for somebody that's wanting to go into this type of work? Academically, how did you prepare yourself for this type of job?
So I attended school here at the university, and I majored in special education. So I have certification kindergarten through 12th grade. I wanted to stay in special ed, so I actually continued and got my master's in severe disabilities here on campus. So for this specifically, we work with a lot of different people. So if you're trying to get into what it is that Adam and I do,
mm-hmm.
You know, we major in special ed. Adam's also a special education major here from the university. We also work with rehabilitation counselors. So if you're interested in working with young adults with disabilities, either through employment, independent living, taking that special ed track or that rehabilitation track is definitely key. So that's how I got here. I was fortunate to study under Dr. Matua, and timing just worked out.
Sure.
There was a position opening as I was graduating.
Hey, that always yeah, works itself out for sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I know in just a little bit we'll have to take a break, but when we get back, you know, I noticed on the Crossing Points website, taking a look at your staff listing, you guys have a ton of graduate assistants, and I think that that's really neat. I'd love to hear how they function within the program, but I know we've got to take a quick break, so you guys stick with us. We are with Clay Stone and Edward Jones from the Crossing Points program here at the University of Alabama, so just stay tuned. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us, you have been listening to our program today with Clay Stone and Edward Jones from the Crossing Points program here on Fit to Be Tied. And before the break, Clay, I know I had mentioned that I was taking a look on your website, and you guys have a lot of graduate assistant positions. And I think it's great when you are able to have so many students involved in different capacities. So tell us a little bit about what kind of opportunities your GAs have within the program.
So all of our graduate assistants have specific roles. Mm-hmm. So our program was able to expand into the two-tier program because we were awarded a grant. And within that grant offered a lot of graduate assistant positions. So each one, they're each responsible for a different domain. So there's Elizabeth Stewart, who is our academic GA. Okay. And she's the one that kind of helps facilitate things like this. I think she was in line a lot of communication with mm-hmm. this. She developed mm-hmm. that relationship with Whitney Pape and a lot of other professors on campus about allowing our students to really get involved in academic classes. We have Olivia Robinson, who is our employment graduate assistant, and she helps set up job site internships and helps develop those employment readiness skills that students need as they graduate. She's also helps us contact with the Alabama Department of Rehab Services. So when students are graduating, they're getting set up with services to help them at work once they've graduated. We have Shannon Bridges, who is our independent living GA. So she has a small group of students every day, and she's working very strictly on independent living skills. So cooking, cleaning, laundry, those are the big three that we focus on. And within that, there's a lot of grocery shopping, budgeting, planning, just figuring out how much money you need to buy groceries for a week and then going to get that, and a lot of different components. We also have Lauren Rollins, who is our social skills GA, so she works on developing specific social skills for mm-hmm. Individual students. So if they're lacking in an area, either at work or in the classroom or something, just so that students know how to appropriately engage with other people. Then we also have Zach Knight, who's actually finishing up his dissertation, so we're about to lose him, but he works also with employment. And then we have Dong Jin Kwan, who is kind of our tech person. He runs our website, does our videos, pictures, all sorts of things. He kind of has a split role. I think we share him with another professor on campus, but those are our six graduate assistants. It's a wide staff.
That's awesome. Yeah. And just the fact that they have such specific roles, I'm sure that's very rewarding for them to be able to thrive within their assigned scope that they have too. And kudos to you for naming every single one of them on the fly, yeah, every right. single thing that they do. So I feel like that's a sign that they are uber important.
Along those same lines, when those graduate assistantships open up, I know they're a valuable commodity. How does one go about applying, or how do you guys advertise those?
That's a great question. I don't think I have an answer. That's not my area.
Fair enough.
Right, easy enough.
I know Dr. Matua and Dr. Williamson, they take care of the hiring for that. So
right.
they show us, hey, these are your graduate assistants. For this, Adam and I actually came in at the same time as all the GAs. So
okay.
Well,
okay.
With the exception of Zach and Dong Jin, but the rest of us all kind of came in together. So whenever they finish their PhD or EDD, whatever they're working toward, and graduate, then we'll get a new crop. So I'll have a better answer for you in about 2.5 years when they finish.
Okay.
Yeah. I assume probably checking the website and such would be a good start anyway. But it seems like the reason I asked that is it just seems like such a great opportunity for somebody mm-hmm. that's going into what you do.
Yeah, I think our GAs have a great job. I mean, you know, they work for us about 20 hours a week, with the other hours being, you know, afforded to research in their classes and different things. So I think they have a pretty great job coming in, just getting to interact with the students for a few hours a day and then heading home and focusing on their PhD.
Oh, yeah. So. And Edward, before you worked over at Lakeside, can you tell us any other places that you worked, like last year?
At Dunkin' Donuts and Hotel Capstone.
Okay, okay. What has been your favorite place so far?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Nice. Okay. What kind of things did you do at Dunkin' Donuts?
Filled on ice, wash dishes, pack nuggets in the bed.
Okay.
Made coffee, mm-hmm. and tea.
Okay, okay. Did you ever get to make any donuts?
No, ma'am.
No. Did you eat any?
One.
Yeah, okay. That's a good answer that's for a good, dietitian. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Can you make good coffee?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Edward, awesome. You actually make coffee for the classroom, right?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, every day Edward comes into the classroom and just makes the whole class coffee. So,
oh, that's great.
Everybody's coming in and
right
fixing themselves a cup.
Now, with the job placements like Edward has had, is it typically one student at one side, or could there be multiple Crossing Point students within one job site? Or I guess, does it depend on the facility?
It depends on the facility. Like Lakeside, there's a lot of different opportunities. So mm-hmm. Edward's currently working making pizza, but we also have students down there who are busing and cleaning tables.
Sure, sure.
And then there's also Dunkin' Donuts also in Lakeside. So we'll have three or four students there, but that's because they can all be doing something completely different mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. from one another. But typically for a specific role or a specific task, it'll just be one student at that. So Edward's making pizza right now. We're not going to put two students there.
Sure.
Edward's fine just doing what he's doing. We'll impede him or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want anybody messing with my my pizza making either.
Yeah, I got to have my room to throw it up and catch it and all that. Having some positions at the Student Rec Center as well over the years, you know, one in particular that just jumps out at me is our greeters, mm-hmm. You know, just having that smiling face there when people come in to swipe their card and it's been a good relationship with us over the years.
The rec center has just been one of our most beneficial job sites because you get the what we like about the greeting. It just helps the students develop actual social skills, so they're forced to interact with people essentially, and it helps them developing, you know, making sure they're smiling and saying hi and asking somebody, you know, how they're actually doing and different things. And then, so the rec center has been great for us.
Yeah, and it, as well for us.
Yeah,
too. I mean, that's definitely a two way street because getting people to sit up there and smile and it's not always the easiest thing.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, having people that just that smiling face when you're coming in to work out. People are supposed to be happy when they're coming in to work out, and they're not always. I don't know why, but it's the only place probably on campus that people are going because they want to go. And they're still not always happy to be going there.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. But it's always nice to have a smiling face greeting you at the door. And I can assure you that's helped us out a lot. Question. I mentioned earlier about this program growing so quickly. Mm-hmm. And I know you had said earlier that there aren't a lot of programs like this around the country. How many, and I don't want to put you on the spot and say how many are there, but I mean, you know, relatively speaking, the model that we have, is this relatively unique?
The specific model that we have is very unique in that, from what I understand, I think there's probably only, and you can check me on this, it may be 50 programs like it in the country. There might be some other programs similar, but not like ours. As far as our model in terms of serving public school students at a university campus, I believe we're the only program like this in the state. You know, I know Auburn's trying to start a program. I think maybe Samford has a similar program. But in terms of, you know, having, you know, offering this free program to public school students on a university campus, I know we're the only one in the state like that, and very few in the country. A lot of programs have something very similar to our summer program where it's tuition-based, students live on campus and all this, whereas we're the one of the few programs that actually offer it for free for public school students.
Right. It's good to know that we're still
yeah.
ahead of everybody else in so many things.
Hey, we're the capstone for the for a reason. Well, you know, we've got some extra questions for you guys, and hopefully you are open to sticking around for another segment. But gotta take another break this afternoon. You guys are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we're spending the Sunday afternoon talking with Clay Stone and Edward Jones from Crossing Points, and we're fortunate to have these guys here to give us a little information about what they do. We appreciate you guys spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us. And Sheena and I have been going rapid fire questions at you, so maybe we'll try to slow down a little bit here for you. And first off, one of the things that I always like to ask everybody, there are students that like to get involved in different organizations around campus. If someone wants to get involved in Crossing Points, can you tell me just quick, brief overview of what they would need to do?
So our volunteer opportunities are very much, you know, limited to UA students. And if they have any interest or really want to get involved, they could just contact myself, Adam Tesler, Dr. Amy Williamson, one of us, just to let us know that they're interested. And we can send them all the information that they would mm-hmm. need. We are on SL Pro, so if there's actual hours that they need to get or want to get, then they can log those hours through SL Pro. We also have a lot of college vet students getting practicum hours with us, which is fine. I would say we have anywhere between 150 to 200 volunteers or practicum students a semester. And we use them in different capacities. Mm-hmm. Some of them will go to job sites with students. Some of them will come and cook with the students. We'll participate in music therapy with students. It just depends on what day that they've signed up for and what time frame they've signed up for. And they can find themselves doing a lot of different things, a lot of different cool and fun things, things they probably won't actually get to experience by, you know, once they graduate.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the job placement opportunities on campus. What kind of places in the community have your students been able to participate in?
So currently we just have two students off campus right now working. We have a student at Sweet Home Food Bar downtown.
Oh, awesome.
She's working in the kitchen.
Okay.
Doing a little bit of food preparation, some dishwashing. And then we also have a student at Northport Play and Stay, which is a doggy daycare. So he's actually going in, he's cleaning the crates, playing mm-hmm. with the dogs, interacting with the dogs. You know, he's mostly maintaining the place, but he gets a lot of chances to interact with the dogs, and which has shown some other benefits than just job skills. I mean, it's benefiting him, just kind of managing his energy and
sure.
just, you know, if you're too rough with the dog's going to be rough back. So he's just kind of like mellowing out and
kind of
really,
helping regulate that.
Yeah, he's having a lot of benefits that we didn't even consider before putting in there. He just said he wanted to work with dogs, and we approached this place, and they were like, yeah, come on by. So
okay.
it was very fortunate for us.
So in that scenario, you know, when we think about a dream big situation and you think about all the different types of employers that are out there, what kind of places would you love to see in the future be involved to give your students the kind of opportunities that you and Adam dream for them?
So how we base our job sites is strictly off of student needs or interests.
Mm-hmm.
Edward, what do you want to be when you get out by the time you graduate?
A chef.
You're a chef. So what type of job site would you like?
Barbecue.
You would do barbecue? Okay. So just based on that, I would look for a local barbecue restaurant
sure.
and get Edward, see if they'd be willing to let Edward come and just kind of learn the basics of the job and see what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
We've found that, you know, our locally owned businesses are always more enthusiastic and excited to work with us and provide those accommodations and job training. so they've been good for us. So we're open to quite frankly anything. I mean, we've had Shirabella Hair Salon in Northport in the past. So we've had a few students apply and get their shampoo license and have actually had the opportunity to shampoo hair. And it really just depends on whatever the student is. We typically try and start going off campus when the student gets closer to graduating, because the idea is if they do well enough in that internship, we can hopefully convince that person to hire the student. Work will convince the employer themselves, like, oh, this is obviously somebody valuable to me. I'm going to go ahead and hire them.
Yeah.
Which would be great. So that we're open to anything. It all just depends on what the students want to do.
That's awesome. I love how you guys play on the actual interests of the students and mm-hmm. their needs and wants versus just finding a willing employer, mm-hmm. you know? So that's great.
What are some of the, I know we talked about people matriculating out of your program, mm-hmm. but what are some of the younger kids that you've had in the program that you can remember?
In terms of like their job sites or what do you
or
mean?
Just in terms of age, the youngest kids that you guys have in the program.
So the youngest we serve is 18 years old.
18. Okay.
So it's between 18 and 21. The student has to be completely done with state testing in the public school system. So they've to have completed all of their credits through 12th grade, be out of state testing. Which I think the last test that seniors take is like the ACT work keys. I think it's still the work keys. So once they've completed all state testing, have completed all their graduation requirements, basically all of their academic classes, they're 18, you know, they're eligible to come to Crossing Points.
Mm-hmm. And eligibility to come means just going through an application process.
Yeah. So what we do is, or Edward, do you remember what you did for the application process?
No.
Okay, so we send out packets to the schools, mm-hmm. and they'll distribute it to the students. So there's a teacher referral, a parent referral. There's some other documentation that needs to be submitted, but ultimately, once the application's submitted to us, Adam and I will go out to the schools. We'll observe students at their schools for just like 30 minutes, maybe nothing too extensive, and then we'll do an interview process. And you know, I wouldn't say there's any strict criteria for admissions. We ask that students have some independence, or potential for independence that we can hopefully leave that student at their job site by themselves or let them attend a class by themselves. We want them to be by themselves. Edward, I know, doesn't want me with him very often, if ever.
Edward has that look.
Edward, yeah. What are some things that you get to do by yourself?
Working and going to our class.
Mm-hmm. And then when you take the bus to work, or even last year when you took the bus to work, were you going by yourself or was I going with you?
I went by myself.
Yeah, so Edward's great. He's just as familiar with campus as any other university student, so he's doing everything independently, which is exactly what we hope for. But in terms of admissions, yeah, there's just a right. typical application interview, and then we go from there.
Mm-hmm. I commend you on figuring out the bus system.
yes. Oh, my goodness. You know, Clay, we've talked a lot about how the students apply, and you mentioned something about having a parent referral and recommendation in there. How involved are the parents of the students that are in the program? Do they get very hands-on, or I guess is there a variability in how much participation a parent has, or is there opportunity for that?
So all we really ask from parents is that whatever we're doing in the classroom or at the student's job site, they're just reinforcing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, I don't know if it's just Adam and my philosophy or what it is exactly. We don't typically keep the parents too up to date because all of our students are 18 to 21 years old. And
sure.
all the other university students on campus aren't having their professors call home to let them know how their son or daughter's doing. So we try and respect that also. So we don't really ask parents to be too involved other than just to reinforce what we've been doing. So unless there's, you know, something significant or if there's a transportation issue, you know, if we found a student a job, mm-hmm. a permanent job and we're just going to need transportation, we'll absolutely be in contact with them to make sure that they can do that. So anything that we're setting up for the, by the time the student graduates, such as employment or anything, we make sure we keep the parents in the loop on that, because ultimately they'll be the ones providing that support once the student graduates, not me or not Adam. But while the student's in the program, we try and keep things in-house. If there's any type of conflict or something the student wants to do, doesn't want to do, we try and just respect that that's the student's decision, and we just work with the student on that. But
man, that's really good. Just knowing the tone of university student parents being those helicopter parents sometimes. Yes. So that's good to know that you guys kind of have a good lockdown of really kind of filtering through that. So that's great.
Yeah. And we just want to thank you guys so much for being. Our time is running short for the afternoon, but we want to thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Clay and Edward. And Edward, I would invite you, strongly encourage you to – I like ham and cheese with probably pepperoni and ham with extra cheese. So feel free to drop by the rec center anytime you want to with a pizza. I'd love to try out your work, man.
And I'll just come by there.
I'll share a little bit.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah. And you guys, you know, we have been with Clay Stone and Edward Jones from Crossing Points. And Clay, I know you mentioned the website is crossingpoints.ua.edu for That's more right. information.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Well, again, thank you guys so much for being with us this afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you listen to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone, and you're listening to John and Sheena. Continuing our, well, wrapping up our conversation, I guess, for the afternoon. We only have just a few minutes left here, but we got into a couple things early that I have to finish with you, Sheena.
Okay.
To start off with, I want to wish you a happy birthday from a couple of days ago.
Thank you. I'm holding this. Will be my 4th 29th birthday. So really, I'm 33.
I was going to say the 10th anniversary of your 23rd birthday.
I will say, so my favorite birthday card, one of our graduate students in the Student Health Center made it for me on my 30th birthday. They had done this like funky thing with one of my pictures, and the front of the card said, "You're as much fun as 2 15-year-olds." I thought that was
that's awesome.
Yeah, they had a picture of me in my teens. I was like, man, that was really clever.
Wow. So, there's pictures of you in your teens running around here.
I think so. Yes. Yes. Hello, Twitter. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got to get my hands on
Twitter. Housing has some archived pictures of me as an RA back in the day.
Really?
I had a side ponytail probably continuously from 2003 to 2008.
You know, that's funny because I did too.
I bet you did.
Yes, I did. Well, hey, going back real quickly to your trip to Chicago, did you enjoy Chicagoland?
I did, yes. I went to the Sears Tower. I guess it's the Willis Tower is what it's called. You know, back in the day, it was the tallest building in the country, and now I hear it's not. But it was still interesting nonetheless. I went in the evening, and I did the little, like, ledge where it's the clear thing where you can stand. And they had staff that would take pictures of you. So I made it, like, senior portrait session. I wish we were on TV right now so I could just throw up all these very cheesy poses I did by myself. I looked, and I had on a trench coat too, so I looked really, really strange. But anyways, it was
fun. I would love to see some of those pictures, by the way. I mean, not because of the trench coat, but because of the did it not bother you at all?
I was surprised that how much it did not, because normally heights really do. Mm-hmm. They give me the back sweats, for lack of a better word.
The back sweats.
Yeah. But I think I was just so distracted by there being a lot of tourists there, and I was kind of people watching, that I didn't really get to absorb the magnitude of how tall it was. And maybe because it was at night, that still looked really cool. But I think daytime, that would freak me out worse. So.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I had this phobia, and I may have told you this before, but I have this phobia of heights, and you put heights and water together. Have I told you that?
No.
Yeah, it's really a freaky thing for me, and I didn't realize it. Me and Dave Crutchfield, a good friend of mine, went to a conference in San Diego. He's from San Diego, so we get up early one morning. It's foggy. We walk to the beach about a mile away. I didn't realize along that walk that I was walking across a huge bridge
uh-huh.
that that was about 12 lanes of traffic. So we walked for a little ways and we're coming back, and I see the bridge, and our hotel is right on the other side of it. And Sheena, I kid you not, something happened to my body to where I forget the back sweats. That was the least of it. I couldn't control my legs. I started walking out in traffic. It was almost like he had to hold me.
I'm sure Dave was, knowing Dave personally too, I'm sure he, I wish I could have seen that. I know it was probably not laughable at the time, but I just have to laugh right now.
There was nothing laughable about it. Yeah. And by hold me, I meant hold my arm. He didn't pick me up and hold me like a baby and carry me. But if he had offered to pick me up and carry me like a baby, I would have let him at that point.
He would have manned up and done it. Yeah, for sure.
It's vicious. I don't know how you did that. Props to you on taking those pictures. I'd really like to see them.
Now, did you? We did not get to interact Halloween. Did you dress up for anything for Halloween this week?
But I saw some great pictures of you.
Yes.
And from reigning men at the Student Health Center.
Yes. So hopefully you guys that are listening know the song It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. And there are these men that are falling out of the sky and then they start dancing. And I had an umbrella that had all these random celebrity faces hanging off. I did have my husband's face on there. I had Coach Saban. It was raining men. And I had little Ken dolls on the ground that I threw on the ground when people would take a picture so that they'd see that the men had fallen on
down.
The ground.
See, I didn't notice those in the picture. But I will tell you that I came within a hair of falling down when I saw. When you sent me the picture, I almost fell down laughing. It was hilarious.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm sure we'll, I don't know. Well, I'm.
You have great costume. You have great creativity. Every Christmas, I look forward to seeing you and Terry and y'all just crack me up.
We just have a lot of randomness, but.
Yeah.
We got to end our show. You know,
we've
been chatting. I will say next show, I'm going to have a throwdown with you on behalf of myself and our producer, Cameron, about your thoughts on Thanksgiving food. So you guys, you got to at least listen to that next week. We've got a great guest, but we've got some debatable holiday food topics going on. But you have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We hope you have a great rest of your Sunday.